Have you ever like been worried about something and like had a whole big like, you know, thing about it? Anyone ever had that? I'm just looking around the room, my friends who've told me, you know, like stories about their lives. I'm like, yeah, we've all had that, right? We've all had those. Is that true? Has anyone not had that? It's funny. It's not really funny at the time, is it? It's not really funny at the time if you're worried about something to the degree that it's really affecting you. Have you ever had that as well? And what I mean by affecting you, like if it's actually like affecting your sleep, if you're not really enjoying being with the people you love, if you're going over it and over it in your mind, if you feel like you just are not prepared enough and you've got to keep, you know, I mean, as I say this, as I list it like that, it sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But the thing is that probably, if we're honest, probably everyone has done that at different times in their life. Have you? Have you done it? Right? And I mean, probably not all the time, not every day, not every moment. I think sometimes if we do that, we don't realize that it's a common thing, and it helps when we realize that it's a common thing. I think what really helps is actually when we kind of laugh about it, you know, when we kind of get the humor of it. Probably because when we're extremely like that, and you know, by the way, I'm deliberately attempting to avoid the label anxiety. But a lot of us here are going, yeah, that's anxiety, right? Do anyone jump to thinking that? The thing is, and the reason why I'm attempting to avoid the label is because my dad's in there. My dad, as my nieces will know, Maddie probably knows too, has my whole life, he's like really, he rejects labels. He's going, don't label. And, you know, like a lot of my university studies are actually out labeling. So it was kind of like quite, you know, in opposition to that. And I, you know, like, while I do get the point, like it is like I'm looking around at the doctors in the room, people come to see you because they want a diagnosis, right? They don't want you to not give them a label, don't you reckon? Yeah, you don't like labels either though, right? But don't you reckon people do like them, right? And I guess, you know, one of the reasons why maybe we, why those, you know, those of us who maybe don't like them is because we can see how it's kind of rigid. Don't you reckon? And that there, and certainly, I mean, this is something that I've thought of, you know, from the studies that I did, you know, like the scientific method of you know, isolating a variable, you know, and it makes sense, right? So if you want to work out, does something, you know, does something work, you've got to like isolate that variable and just do, we just do that, and you want to see you can reproduce it. Like it's all very cleverly thought out and makes a lot of sense. Just as life has gone on for me, I've noticed that when can you isolate a variable, really, in life? Like, realistically, there's all of these factors coming together all of the time, don't you reckon? And so it's probably not so simple, is what I'm trying to say. And I guess, really, what I was just wanting to get to the point of is that that yoga helping us to kind of, in a way, just surrender into not knowing, which is kind of like a non-label state, is something that we might reject, and in fact we may have been schooled to do otherwise, right? We may have been schooled to like go for the label and to become, you know, like to try and work out, you know, to always like do the things that you can do to affect the outcome in the way that you want to affect it, right? But because there are other variables, like, you know, like we're just laughing about how you can really prepare, you know, we're two yoga teachers talking about how you can really prepare for a class thinking that a certain person, you don't mind if I give this example, we're thinking this person was going to come with a shoulder injury, and so all of this, like a lot of planning that went into the, you know, to the class and to the, you know, understanding everything about the operation that the person had had and so on. And guess who didn't come to the class? Right? And it's kind of funny, but You know, on the one hand, what, you know, I'd say is that no, you know, this idea that no effort on this path goes to waste. So it's okay that we get that sort of energy that makes us want to learn stuff, you know, to know how to do it. And perhaps if we have those, sometimes when you have those feelings of like, oh wow, something's about to happen, I've got to get prepared for it, that maybe we don't have to reject that energy of it. We can let that energy be with us in our intention. Do you see what I mean? So that, say, if your intention is to do with happiness, say, or I don't know, whatever it is, right? So mine is, you know, to be peace and spread love and joy, to get the, to have the energy of that, like, oh, I want to learn all this stuff about the, you know, this operation or whatever, to help this person with the shoulder injury, to help to spread peace, love and joy. Do you get that? And so that, because just when I, personally, when I say my intention, it kind of just gives me a little help. It kind of gives me a little bit more direction, if you like. But it's not just direction, it also is like this idea in yoga of the, like the guru is the weighty one, the remover of darkness. So it actually gives a little bit of lightness and weightiness at the same time. And that's why I just suggest to all of you guys that you set your intention every time when you're in class. But you, obviously, it's up to you if you want to or not. And many times we don't have an intention when we start yoga, because maybe our whole, you know, maybe what we've been taught a lot is to only respond to what's urgent, right? And often what our intention is not only immediate, it's greater reaching, it's bigger. Do you get me? And you know that Stephen Covey's great writer, he's talked about this thing that you know, that when we attend to what's urgent over what's important, then our lives tend to lose purpose and meaning. And so he gives the example of, like, he demonstrates it with a big clear container. And then he has all these stones, and he's got all the little tiny pebbles, little tiny ones, and then he's got what he calls the big rocks. It's granddad coming through me right now. So he talks about the big rocks because it's a family joke in our family. My dad always says, what about your big rocks? You know, like, if it's like there's all these other things kind of in the way, so just remember your big rocks, Tam. So I'm going to tell you about the big rocks. So the big rocks are like what actually matter to you. So that's relating to your intention. You see, what actually truly is important to you. So making up some stuff, like what a lot of people would say things is like their family. You know, would that be a big rock? I know, just looking around the room, yes. Your work, you know, we would all say yoga too in this room, wouldn't we? You know, and so on, you know, the things that are most important to you. And then the little rocks, some of my little rocks, I'll give you emails, you know, the urgent stuff, I don't know, what are some of the urgent things? I don't know. Parking, that's probably an urgent thing. The phone calls, I don't know, can you think of it? Pardon?
Bills.
Yeah. Well, they can be urgent. I mean, they can be important too. Yeah. Maybe just seeing like school assemblies, just seeing what some people have to do. You know, that it's so immediate, it has to be tended to so quickly. Like just to give the school assembly example, right? Because all of you guys have been school students, whether or not you've been a mum or not. Can you remember that? Like, it had to be like you had to have the right costume or whatever it was for the thing. Like, that is the urgent thing. But the important part is the connection between in the family. Do you see what I mean? And so if you have the emphasis on just the urgent thing, then, you know, you can sometimes see, like, if you're ever in the shop, sometimes you can see have you ever watched people in the supermarket and you see some families, they're just beautiful, like there's just such a connection in the family and it's just really lovely. And then you see others where you see the mum's just basically tearing her hair out and the kids are like hating the mum and the whole thing is just terrible, right? And you can see them like, fucking get out of here, like get this job, you know, like the urgency thing. Do you get what I mean? So just giving you that example. probably all the mums in the room are like, yeah, well, both, do both, right? Because it is a bit like that. And that's the thing. We often do have to attend to the urgent things, right? But I'm just saying that this example is given, is that if you put all the urgent stuff in first, like if you pour all those pebbles in first, then you can put some of your big rocks in, but they won't all fit. Like, they just can't all fit. Something will miss out. And the thing, you know, like, what I've noticed is that for some people, what misses out, okay, so say family was one of their big rocks. So family probably won't miss out, because they're gonna help you get them in the thing, do you get me? But say if it's something like you coming to yoga, that might be what misses out, because it's just you, right? Or maybe it's you going for a walk on the beach, or maybe it's you reading a book or something, or going to bed early, or any of those kind of things that we call self-care, that sometimes they don't get put in because the urgent stuff gets attended to first, right? Whereas, imagine the thing's empty again, and you put all the big rocks in first, and then you put the little pebbles on top. Guess what? The little pebbles can all fit around. It's actually fascinating. Some of you guys have seen it on YouTube, the film of it, right? The little rocks can fit in around the big rocks. That's actually how it goes. And it's a really lovely analogy for us to remember for our own selves. And in yoga, what we call sadhana, right? It's called your spiritual practice, is the teaching is do it first. Do it first. And I know that it's like, yeah, you're here, so it's like, yeah, I am doing it. I'm doing it. I'm just saying it to you while you're here as a reminder, you know, like attend, it's so good that you're here. I really want, it's so nice to like in gratitude for yourself that you've got here, and to remind yourself this kind of good feeling. It doesn't take away from anyone. It doesn't affect anyone in your family when you have that good feeling, does it? Do you see what I mean? It actually enhances everybody. So, and you know, the theory in yoga is that it actually has an effect in the whole world. You know, and this is this idea of be the change you wish to see, which Gandhi, I mean, that's one guy. You know, Gandhi was never an elected official. He was never, don't you reckon? Who hasn't heard of Gandhi? Anyone not heard of Mahatma Gandhi? Right? One little guy. So be the change you wish to see in the world is actually viable for all of us. So if you want to, let's set your intention. So if you haven't got a clear intention, you might just simply ask yourself, what is my intention? You know, what do I want to tend inwardly to, besides urgently turning off that alarm? And, you know, when I was saying to you my intention, you know, I put it into a sentence, but it might not, you know, for you, maybe it's images, perhaps it's just single words. Maybe it's kind of like a feeling tone or a vibration. Just, you know, might even be like in the form of colours. Can you, in your own way, experience your, you know, deepest... intention. What do you want to tend inwardly to? What's most important to you? all joined together for one. Om. Om.